End of the book of Romans today, and you might say we come full circle from our journey. Remember I told you that beginning with the book of Romans, I'd like to title it the Road to Freedom, because that's what Paul was talking about. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. I've never done it before like this, but kind of give you a recap or a synopsis, if you would, of the whole book of Romans, of the messages as a whole. Tony suggested this, and I thought that'd be a good idea. And so in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to do that. And then after that, we're going to look at a few characters in the scriptures. It'd be kind of topical messages, expounding on the expository, but yet topical, dealing with some of the characters in the scriptures. And one is, I know I personally have never heard of a message on them, and probably y'all haven't either. But that it's found in the Old Testament, and that's the first character we're going to deal with, and that is coming up after about in the next 3 weeks, because next 2 weeks I'll recap. So, indeed to me, in reading the book of Romans, it is the road to true freedom. These verses form what we call, and verses 25 through 27, that in where Paul ends his letter to the church at Rome, these verses comprise what we call an inclusio, or an inclusion, meaning that it goes along with, if you turn back to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, that's what I say, that Paul is coming full circle now. Because what he ends his letter with is what he has said in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And again, that's why we call that an inclusion. And finally, when you look at these verses, in verses 25 through 27, in the Greek, in the English, it's hard to see that, but in the original language, in the Greek, this is one long, incomplete sentence. So you can imagine that Paul was writing this, and he gave it to an English teacher. What would an English teacher give him? Said, son, you need to redo this. We don't talk in incomplete sentences. You need to complete the sentence. But Paul, this is just one long, incomplete sentence. And what he says here in verse 25 through 27, he says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to whom has been made known to all the nations, to obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. And so he ends his letter. And as I said, it's really here in our Bibles, they put it into a paragraph or sentence form. But in the original language, it's an incomplete sentence, as I said. But what can we learn from this? So Paul has done his greetings. He's greeted some people he knows in Rome. In verses 21 through 23, he sends greetings from those who are with him. And in verse 22, Paul says, I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. And then he mentions some others. And then he gives that one long, complete sentence. But this one long, complete sentence has some significant elements within it. And the first one is this. Paul is telling us here that the gospel, because he's mentioned all these people, he's known in Rome, and then those who are with him. He's writing from a church in Corinth. He's in Corinth, and we have church. There's a church there, and he mentions these other people who are in churches other way, in other places, to the church at Rome, and then those who are with him. Christian believers. So what is he saying here? He is telling, number one, the first element here is that the gospel, and it's still true today, the gospel is cross-cultural. It crosses cultures. It crosses ethnic groups. It crosses nationalities. Paul is saying that the gospel, and again you have to read, go back to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul is saying that the gospel is not just for a certain few. It's not for the rich. It's not just for the poor. It's not just for whites, or red or black or yellow. You know, the song we teach our kids when they're little, Jesus is, loves the little children. Yeah, red and yellow, black and white. People have a problem with that today. They want to segregate. How odd that is. Don't you think finding that odd and ironic here in our own country? Did you know that in some of our universities and graduation today, now, they have separate graduation ceremonies for certain groups? How odd. When a civil war was fought over that? That same thing? We had the civil rights marches and all that to do away with those things. Many of y'all probably hadn't experienced that, but if you've been down south in the 60s and stuff, and that people grew up and they knew their place, so to speak. But it wasn't just black and whites then. I remember hearing, when I was growing up, that in Italy was ethnically divided too, between the Sicilians and the Italians. And they used to call them Dagos and Wops. The Dagos were the poor ones, and they were from the boot of the country. And they didn't like what they called the WOPs. See, every ethnic group, no matter what you name, has a derogatory term for some other group. It's nothing new. Been that way for years. You know what the Jews called the Gentiles? You ever heard the word goy? Goyim. That's what they call the Gentiles. And to them, a Gentile was worse than a dog. That's why there was that animosity there. But it's always been there. Among all kinds of groups. So Paul is saying here that the gospel is cross-cultural. And why is that? Notice what he says here. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. What Paul is saying, that it is all about Jesus. It's about Christ. It's not about ourselves. It's not about other groups in that. It's about Christ. It is today. It's about Jesus. Now, Paul writes what we call in the third person. He doesn't write in the second person. He writes in the third person. And that's significant. Because he wants people to see that indeed he's coming full circle now. That the gospel is cross-cultural. And he identifies. And we need to get this. Paul identifies, and he explains in part why. But he identifies for us the one to be praised. Notice, Paul doesn't praise himself. He doesn't praise those who are with him. He doesn't praise even the church at Rome and the church at Corinth and that. Who does he praise? Yes. And many have lost that. Now to him who is able to establish you. To him. The praise goes to him. And the word that he uses there to establish, he means to establish it on a firm foundation. To strengthen. And it goes back to just what Paul said. You look back at Romans chapter 1, verses 17. For in it, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. It goes back to that. Established in what? Goes back to what Paul says, and this is why I say it comes full circle. It goes back to what Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. It goes back to even further what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Paul, a bondservant, he's an apostle, but he's saying, I'm a slave of Christ. I've been bought with a price. And that price with the blood of Christ. So what is Paul saying here when he's saying it's all about Jesus? It's this, the gift. The gift is the gospel itself. That's why he says what he does here, brothers and sisters. Now to him who is able to establish you, to give you a firm foundation, to strengthen you, Christ, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The gift is the gospel itself. See, so many people want to think that the gift is all these other things that Christ brings. The gift of peace. The gift I won't have any more problems anymore. And life will just be all a bed of roses. They think that's what it should be. That's what many people want. But they miss it. Because the gift is the gospel itself. Well, what is the gospel? See, Paul says, establish you in a firm foundation according to the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? I think you can look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you are established, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And now here it comes. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's it. It's also what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to me. It's not according to man. Which he means also him. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Well, hear what? The gospel. Notice what he tells Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But at the proper time manifested his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. The gift is the gospel itself. Because brothers and sisters, the only thing that can give us true peace and true harmony and that shalom that God wants us to have, which is that wholeness and overwhelming peace is through Christ, the gospel itself. That's the greatest gift. That's the most precious gift we can give anybody. That's the most precious gift of all. But it's what the gospel entails. Christ came as Lord and Savior. He lived physically on this earth. He died a cruel death on a cross. Took all the sins of the world upon him. But if he would have stayed on that cross, that would have ended the gospel. That would have ended the good news. But instead, he rose again on the third day, conquering not only sin, but conquering death for all time, bringing eternal life. See, you can't divorce it from that. You have to put that all together. That encompasses the gospel. That's why it's so significant what Jesus said when Peter gave his confession of that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon that, what you said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the abode of the dead, will not be able to overcome it. And Jesus was telling them, guys, yes, I'm the Son of the living God. And I'm going to build my church on that. But not only that, I'm going to overcome death. So you will have eternal life. That's what he meant when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, raise it again. And they couldn't see beyond their physical temporal eyes. They couldn't hear spiritually what he was saying. And they couldn't see spiritually because they all took it what? They all took it literal. Ha! You're going to destroy that temple in 3 days, raise it up again? Why, Herod, you're not even 50 years old yet. He was only 30. Herod spent 40 years building that temple. It's not even finished yet. And you're gonna destroy it in 3 days and rise it again? Ha! See, that's what they said when he was on the cross. Why, well, he said he's going to destroy the temple and he'd bring it back again. And now look at him where he's at. Let him come down from there and let's see him do it. Little did they understand that what he meant was, kill me 3 days. My temple, myself, I'm going to rise again. But just like many today, the Jews refused to believe that, didn't they? And that's why when he looked at the cross and he saw these women weeping as he was going to the cross, he said, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. Why, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would just like a mother hen gather you under my wing, but you would not. Because Jesus knew that in 40 short years, all Jerusalem would be destroyed. And that temple would be destroyed, never to be raised again. And he knew that, see. But they refused. And we need to get this clear, because many people miss this. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do not know what they do. He was talking about the masses of people that the religious leaders had goaded into crucifying him. He was not speaking of the religious leaders. They knew what they were doing. They refused to believe. They wanted a different Messiah. They wanted a Messiah that would come in and continue to not upset the apple cart and continue to let them do what they want to do. Gouge the people and sell in the temple. That's why he cleansed the temple twice, at the beginning of his ministry and at the end. To show them, my Father's house will not be a den of thieves, but you have made it so. And see, they didn't like that, all being upset. They had control of the people. And they believed they could control Yahweh. They believed they can control God. Jesus comes along and said, it's not that way. It's this way. And they wouldn't have anything to do with it. That's why Jesus told them, you search the scriptures. From Moses on down, you search scriptures, and yet you cannot see? Because they refused to. But the common people, the religious leaders of the day, kept them in bondage. And many religious leaders today, in many churches, in many places, are keeping people in bondage today. Because they're preaching a false gospel. And Jesus will have none of that. But that's why he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And that's why Paul tells us here the gospel is cross-cultural and that it was even proclaimed in the Old Testament scriptures. He says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but is now manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God. Paul is saying it's there. You see, when Paul was speaking, when Paul was writing, they didn't have the New Covenant scriptures. They didn't have it completed. It was passed around from church to church. He was writing, others were writing, yes. But this wasn't completed. So what did they have? They had the Old Testament. And Paul is saying it was proclaimed there. If you would look and see. Kind of reminds you of the Ethiopian eunuch, doesn't it? Going along the road and he's reading. And the Spirit catches Philip up. And all of a sudden, can you imagine that? Think that in your mind. You're in your chariot and going along to Jerusalem to worship. But you're reading your charioteer is driving and you're reading the scripture. You don't understand what it is. And all of a sudden, you're going along and here's this guy. And you imagine the chariots, from what the scriptures say, the chariot's still going. And you imagine that Philip's keeping up with him. And Philip looks to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And what does the guy say? How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And so he stopped the chariot then. Philip got up into the chariot with him. They're continuing on their way. He's got a chariot driver, and he's continuing on the way. And what does it say? It says, and so from the start of where this guy was at in Isaiah, Philip began to preach what? It says he began to preach Jesus to him, the gospel. And people will say, baptism doesn't have anything to do with that. Want to bet? Why in the world then did as they were going along, the Ethiopian eunuch said, here's water. What prevents me from being immersed? And they stopped the chariot immediately. And Philip took him down into the water and immersed him. And then Philip was taken away just like that. Can you imagine that? Guys looking around, where'd he go? Where'd he go? But he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he had heard the gospel and he believed. And he went on his way rejoicing. But they didn't have the new. They had the old. But Paul is saying it's there. And Paul says it is the gospel which reveals God's strategy, God's mystery. And Paul uses in this incomplete sentence four prepositional phrases which modify the verb made known. And the first one is this. Paul says, has been made known to all the nations. And the word that he uses for nations there is ethne. That means all people. Red, yellow, black, and white. Brown, whatever shade you want to say. That's what he's saying. Whatever language they are, it's what he's saying. And he tells us that it is that the second thing he says is through the prophetic writings. It's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The prophecies you see, and this is what why Brother Jack Cottrell is correct in this. When he says these long ages pass, he is saying that it includes the Old Testament dispensation, and that came to an end only with the first coming of Christ and the proclamation of the new covenant revelation. What he's saying there is that the prophecies were not understood until Jesus came. And then they could be understood. And that's why Jesus said, you search the scriptures and yet you don't understand. He said, I'm here. You can't understand that? And they refused to. Just as many do today. Refused to. And then he says something important here. The next third prepositional phrase. That it is by the command of the eternal God. And the last one, that it brings about obedience of faith. He ends it with that. Brings about the obedience of faith. In other words, Paul is saying, it's not enough to hear the gospel. It's not just enough to believe in it. You have to act on it. And you have to continue to act on it. Did you know that what Paul was saying to the church at Rome was very radical? And it was very radical and revolutionary, but it was very, how should I say this? It was very treasonable in that time. And why? Because in the Roman Empire, who was the ultimate one that they worshiped? Caesar. The state. Caesar, which embodied the government, the state of the Roman Empire. They worshiped him as well. And if you didn't worship him, what happened? See, that's why Paul eventually was beheaded and he wasn't crucified. Because even though Paul was a Jew, he was a Roman citizen. And they didn't crucify Roman citizens. They beheaded him. That's why Paul was beheaded. They refused, the Christians did, refused to worship Caesar as a god. They refused to worship all the other idols and gods that they had. And so as a result of that, they thought they were treasonous of the Roman Empire. Do not think, brothers and sisters, that that could not happen here. Because it is happening elsewhere. Read China, India, some of the Muslim countries. You say you're a Christian, what happened? Your life is forfeit. Well, the issue is, do you hold your life so dearly that you would deny Christ? See? That's why Jesus said, is it better to lose your life and lose your soul? Or lose eternity? Or is it better to gain your life through him and gain eternity? Which one? That's what many people don't want to come to, see? So his point here then, and I'll close this with what Brother Jack Cottrell says. His point here is this, is that the God who has devised such a marvelous plan of salvation, and it is his plan of salvation, has worked it out in the arena of history, has in this present age accomplished it through Jesus Christ. and has made it known all, made it all known through the gospel. And as he said, such a God is truly the essence of wisdom. Everything that Paul has written up to this point in this wonderful letter, in this awesome letter, causes him to praise and adore God for his wisdom. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. My, what an ending that is. But you see, in order to have that, you have to be established in the gospel. And you have to remain. That's why Paul said that it establishes you firmly, strengthens you. And that's something that we have to continue, see? And that takes diligence. And that takes that, the renewing of the mind. Transformation. And the world doesn't want us to have that. And the state doesn't want us to have that. No government wants us to have that. Why? Because they want us to be beholden to them. When true freedom comes from being beholden to him. That's why if you're a Christian, you're a slave to Christ. You've been bought with a price. See? Let's stand. We're going to sing softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. He continues to do that. I mean, do we realize that once we're a Christian, yeah, we've been called home and we're home. But we have to continue the way. We have to continue on that journey. That's why he's always constantly calling us.